readings from the Holy Gospel according to St. At that time, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to himself and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, the Lord speaks, he gives a command, and it happens. The word in Greek is ginomai, aginito, ginomai. What happens when the Lord speaks and gives the command is the creation of the world. But interestingly, when God makes man, he speaks, but then it does not say that it happened. Rather, it says that God created him. He created man in his own image and likeness. He spoke, and then he personally created man in his own image and likeness. To the prophets, the word of the Lord happens. In your English translations, I've said this several times before now, it says that the word of the Lord comes to such and such a prophet. But that's not what it says in the Greek or in the Hebrew. What it says is that the word of the Lord happens to the prophet. It comes to be with the prophet. And often it happens to the prophet, the word of the Lord happens to the prophet as a vision that he can see. And the prophets, many times, are commanded not just to write it out, what they saw, but to act it out. A theological principle underlying all of this is that the word of the Lord is not an idea that you can think about or argue over. I mean, you can think about it, but I mean, it's not an idea. It's not a theory. It's not a school of thought. The word of the Lord is an event. It's an event that happens. The word of the Lord, when it happens, enters into space-time, and it receives form. It receives dimension and becomes a historical event. We see the peculiar character of Christian theology in this. The doctrine of the church is not a dialectical belief system produced from out of the wisdom of dialectic or human reasoning. The faith, the doctrine of the church is the knowledge of God that is given from beyond or from outside of the wisdom of the mind. It's given from above. and it is given through direct encounter with God in an event or in a mighty act of God. Christian theology is a prophetic word describing an event of God that has been seen and heard and felt with our hands. This event, of course, is the incarnation, the taking flesh of the Word of Life, who happened to us. He happened. He became an event, became the event, when he took flesh of the Holy Virgin and became man. Our gospel this morning, then, the healing of the crippled woman on the Sabbath, is a prophetic word. It's Christian theology that records another happening, another event of the word of the Lord. Only here it is not a prophet who is acting out the word. It's the word of the Lord himself who happened, who became flesh and pitched his tent among us. The word himself happened. He himself became an event, or rather, he became the event in history when he took the form of a servant. This morning he speaks to the crippled woman as he did in Genesis. He speaks to her. He gives a command. Be loosed from your infirmity. Then it says, he laid his hand on her. And if this is the hand of the Lord that he's laying on her, then it is somehow connected with the Holy Spirit. So he lays his hand on her, like he created man directly. He lays his hand on her, and you read the Greek, and she is made orthodox. She's made an orthodox Christian. Because it says that when the Lord laid his hands on her, which is obvious, it has to be a reference to holy baptism, it says that she was made straight. She was made straight. And the Greek word is anorthophe. Anorthophe. And then it says that she glorified God. Edoxozen. Edoxozen. She was made straight and she glorified God. She became orthodox. Note how the Lord speaks. He speaks as he did at the creation. And then he acts directly by laying his hand on the woman. And immediately there is an event, as there was in the creation of the world. There is an event. And this event is a deliverance, and it's a new creation in the healing of this crippled woman. But with that, note that this deliverance and this new creation, notice that it happens on the Sabbath to the great ire of the ruler of the synagogue. Now, in biblical spirituality, the ordinance of the Sabbath commemorates, on the one hand, the Lord delivering Israel from Egypt. Read Deuteronomy chapter 5, where it associates the keeping of the Sabbath with the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And on the other hand, the ordinance of the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, is connected with the creation of the world. Read, for example, Exodus chapter 31. With the latter, or with the latter commemoration, the creation of the world, to keep the Sabbath rest, as God commands, it's a form of the imitatio Dei, you know, the imitation of God. By keeping the Sabbath, the Israelite was participating in God's creation of the world, and he was taken up into the rhythm of the divine life of God, and even attained to a measure of mystical union with God, such that even the Israelites' earthly life was sanctified by keeping the Sabbath. Now we can see both of these spiritual principles in this morning's gospel, the principle of deliverance and the principle of a new creation. The Lord calls this woman, he calls her to himself. and he speaks to her. He gives a command, be loosed, be delivered. And you see that the mighty acts of deliverance happens to her, and even creation, because when she straightens up, she's a new creature. Healing her on the Sabbath, the Lord says that she has been delivered from the bonds of Satan. There's the deliverance. In saying this, does not the Lord show that the Sabbath ordinance in its true character is a prophetic prefigurement of a deliverance that goes far beyond the liberation from Egypt, limited to one moment in space-time? He says she's loosed from Satan, not the Pharaoh, from Satan. It is deliverance from the bonds of death. That's what we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And so a deliverance that is eternal and spiritual, and so it's a deliverance that is, by its very nature, a new creation. We are given then to understand that in the event of this healing of the crippled woman on the Sabbath, the word of the Lord is performing another mighty act that signifies the event of his holy Pascha. And thus, if you will, the cosmic and the eternal fulfillment of the old Sabbath ordinance. The Lord goes on to rebuke those scandalized by his healing the crippled woman on the Sabbath, by likening the healing of her to leading one's ox or donkey away from its crib or manger, that's what the word is in Greek, away from its crib or manger, to drink. You notice there's a hint of an exodus going on, an exodus, to lead the ox or donkey away from the manger, the crib, to a place to drink. The kind of an exodus that is leading to a kind of a promised land, flowing with milk and honey. But you also catch the note of the church going through the wilderness of winter and early spring, from the manger or the crib of Christmas to the living waters of Pascha that flow from the side of Christ when he is crucified on the cross. The image of the woman crippled and unable to straighten up looks like someone bound to the dust of the ground, in other words, to Satan, who through the fear of death holds us enslaved to the power of death. The Lord laying his hand on the woman is the same movement of the priest laying his hand on the baptismal candidate, and of the Lord breathing his spirit, which by the way is called the hand of the Lord, for example, in the prophet of Ezekiel, into Adam's face. We see here then an image of creation. The woman receives the touch of the Lord's hand as Adam received the Spirit. She is made orthodox, even as Adam was made a living soul, or as the disciples were made holy when they received the Spirit on Pentecost, or as those who receive the Lord are made children of God, born from above. The Spirit, moreover, is called by the Lord the rivers of living water. And what flowed from his side on the cross was blood and water. In other words, the life of God that constitutes the sacramental mysteries of the church, so that those who eat and drink the life of God given in the church are made to become partakers of the divine nature. They're caught up in the rhythm of divine life. They're united with the divine life itself. Delivered from death by the outstretched arms of the Lord on the cross, they are made when the priest and the baptismal candidates are made, when the priest, who is an icon of Christ, the high priest, lays his hand on them, they are made to become a new creation. Crippled before, enslaved to death through their sins and trespasses, the baptismal candidates are made orthodox. They are made to stand up straight, and they glorify God as the newly created children of God. So that the image of leading one's ox or donkey to drink, which the Lord gives in his rebuke to those scandalized by his healing on the Sabbath, if you trace that imagery out, it leads us again to the foot of the Lord's cross. That is to say, it leads us to the sixth day, great and holy Friday, and to the great and holy Sabbath, of his burial in the tomb. When he rested, remember he cried out on the cross, "It is finished." He rested from the works that he had begun to do when he created the world and when he delivered Israel from Egypt. Those mighty acts, the central acts of the history of Israel, are now finished and completed in the mighty act of God's death on the cross. And now he enters into the true Sabbath, his rest in the tomb. This rest of the Lord in the tomb on the Sabbath day, this is the true Sabbath. It is the Sabbath, it is that Sabbath that we swore we would participate in when we swore at our baptism that we had united ourselves to Christ in the likeness of his death. In other words, when we swore that we had united ourselves to Christ in his Sabbath rest. This is the Sabbath that one can enter only through faith, as we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, which St. Paul makes very clear that faith is to keep one's heart from falling away from God, so that one's heart is not made hard by the deceitfulness of sin. This is the other Sabbath that remains for the people of God that the writer to the Hebrews is talking about. This Sabbath of the Lord's death on the cross and his rest in the burial in the tomb on the Sabbath day. This is the Sabbath that we must strive to enter, as St. Paul says in Hebrews, by keeping ourselves from disobedience. So, dear faithful, do you see? We were healed. We were delivered from death. We were raised to life, a new creation. We were made to stand up straight and to glorify God on the true Sabbath, in other words, at our baptism, when we were made one with Christ in the mystery of his death and made to be communicants of his Sabbath rest in the tomb on great and holy Saturday. If so, how do you think we as Orthodox Christians keep the true Sabbath, if it is not by keeping ourselves united to Christ in the likeness of his death, so that we are striving 24/7, or St. Herman of Alaska would say, every day, every hour, every moment, we are striving to enter the true Sabbath rest of Christ by putting to death all that is earthly in us, by denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Christ into the promised land, the Garden of Eden. This is our work, to unite ourselves to Christ by taking up the cross the Church gives to us in her ascetic disciplines. And when we do this work of faith, this work of voluntarily uniting ourselves to Christ in obedience to Christ, see, that's the work we have to do. Christ can't do that work for us because we have to want to do it. He can't make us want to do it. We must voluntarily obey Christ because we want to. That's the work we do. And if we do that work, we receive into our souls and bodies the word of the Lord who works on the true Sabbath in his death in us who believe. He works in us in exactly the same way he worked in this crippled woman. He delivers us. He makes us to become a new creation. And he makes us truly to be Orthodox Christians. Amen. Most holy prayer, portal sailors. Glory to Jesus Christ.